good morning. It's 6:06 on the 15th, halfway through the month. And we are right in the midst of a local race here. And in Doña Ana County, and also I've got a lot of stuff going on, obviously nationally in the issue of elections and stuff. There's this kind of interesting story about, and I'm sure you've heard about it, but this guy Lamar Odom, which is very bizarre. I mean, I feel sorry for the guy because he's basically dying right now. And they had done, I've probably read 10 different stories on this. But he's a basketball player. He was in the reality show with one of the Kardashian sisters. And does it seem like men interact with the Kardashians and then crash and burn or what? I mean, seems like there's a trail of bodies behind these ladies. And even Bruce Jenner has decided to become a woman instead of fighting it any longer. But I find that somewhat surreal. This must be the worst family in America. Of course, they all flew over to spend time with this guy while he's dying. But they found him in a brothel or a whorehouse and in Pahrump, Nevada, which my dad, you know, growing up, Pahrump is about 30 miles away from Las Vegas. My dad invested in some land there when we were kids, and nothing ever happened with the land, but it's just kind of, if you go west in Las Vegas, you will end up stay on the left side of the road, of course, or the left side of the city. There's a road that goes in the direction of California, and that is where Pahrump is. And Pahrump was always just this kind of small town out there. There's a big water table there, a big aquifer. But that is where all of this stuff happened. So it is just a really, I mean, if you could find a seedier way to check out, you know. But apparently this guy, his mother died of cancer when he was 10, and his father was a heroin addict growing up. And he lived in Queens. So he's about a 6'9", 6'10" basketball player. Very, very talented guy. But he's been on a downward spiral ever since he met the Kardashians. Here's a little clip from this.
Lamar Odom seemed to have it all. A famous wife, a reality show, and two NBA World Championship rings earned during his two seasons with the Los Angeles Lakers. But inside, there was turmoil, which only got worse after he and reality star Khloe Kardashian separated back in 2013. The couple had their own reality show, Khloe and Lamar.
I want to get married right now.
You would marry me?
I would do it right now.
In 2013, Odom was pulled over for drunk driving. After a short stint at rehab for drug and alcohol addiction, rumors of infidelity and drug use continued.
I'm really on high alert for Lamar because, I mean, anything I think will set him to spiral, and that's kind of the last thing I want for him.
Odom's spiraling may have started early on, his life marked by so much sadness. His father was a heroin addict who left when Odom was young. He was just 12 when his mother died of cancer. He tried to focus on basketball.
I won't get too caught up in that. I'll just go out and play my game and help the team that I play for that.
In 2001, Odom was suspended for 5 games after violating the league's anti-drug policy.
I'm disappointed about myself for not handling myself correctly. But the people are supposed to be there.
2 years later, in 2003, he spoke to the Miami Herald about marijuana, saying, "I just couldn't control myself, the lifestyle that I was living and the things I had access to. A lot of times I'd think about it and say, damn, am I fighting my father's demons? But those weren't the only demons. In 2006, Odom's infant son from a previous relationship died of sudden infant death syndrome. In July 2011, his cousin was shot and killed. Also, two of Odom's closest friends died of drug-related causes. At that time, Odom told the LA Times, "Death always seems to be around me. I've been burying people for a long time." Whatever demons he may have been fighting seem to have appeared again Tuesday afternoon when Odom was found unconscious at Love Ranch Brothel in Crystal, Nevada, about an hour's drive from Las Vegas. The owner said Odom had called him Saturday to arrange a visit, describing Odom as a bit somber. When two women went to check on him, they found him unresponsive and called 911.
911 said, put him on his left side, and they did, started throwing up. He was still alive. Ambulance came, police came. They immediately said, this is not looking good.
Emergency crews tried to airlift him to a Vegas hospital, but the 6'10" Odom was too tall to fit in the helicopter. He was driven by ambulance to another facility.
I'll ride the highway.
You're a free range chicken.
I got a little bit more on this.
It's what you do.
And you're asking me why I'm putting this on the show. It's just kind of fascinating. I mean, there's a couple of narratives in this, or a couple of aspects of this that I find interesting. Number one, this kind of very strange human tendency to take after your parents, which I guess a religious person would say sins of the father, sins of the son. But if the parent's an alcoholic or commit suicide, you find a lot of these people that commit suicide, even famous people, their parent committed suicide, and it's like it's haunted them their whole life, you know. And then also that he got caught up in this, I mean, very, very seedy family, you know, that became famous in part through one of the daughter creating a porn tape. And just the number of men that this family chews up is really jaw-dropping. But here's a little more on Lamar's life. And this is from NBC News.
TV star Lamar Odom. He's clinging to life this morning after he was discovered unconscious in a Nevada brothel. NBC's Jacob Rascone is outside Odom's hospital with the latest. Jacob, good morning to you.
Matt, good morning. Sources close to Odom tell our sister network E, doctors are treating his condition as a drug overdose. The star now surrounded by family and friends who say they are hoping and praying for any sign of improvement, which so far does not seem to have come.
He's like almost not breathing.
When Lamar Odom was found unresponsive at the Love Ranch brothel, employees called 911 in a panic.
And he's already pissed because he's got blood coming out of his nose, white stuff coming out of his mouth. They can't get him to wake up.
When paramedics arrived, Odom was inside this VIP suite, on the bed, fully clothed, still unconscious. It took four men to carry him to the ambulance.
2 days later, Odom's condition hasn't improved. Sources close to the former NBA star tell our sister network E, Odom suffered brain damage and at least one stroke, is in a coma, hooked up to a ventilator, and that doctors found various drugs in his system. Inside the Sunrise Medical Center, Odom is surrounded by those closest to him, including estranged wife Khloe and other Kardashian family members who rushed to be by his side. Former teammate Kobe Bryant is said to have left his game early to be with Odom and to have stayed since. Other friends and acquaintances stopped by as well, including the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Unfortunately, Khloe was there and two of his close friends, and after the doctor finished the procedure today, I was able to go in and see him and hold hands and have prayer.
The hashtag prayers for Lamar trending on social media, as the sheriff says it seems drugs were a factor.
During that call, the reporting parties informed Nye County Sheriff's Office dispatch the male had been using cocaine.
Moving forward, doctors, of course, can't know the extent of any brain damage until he wakes up. If he does, the sheriff, meanwhile, is conducting her own investigation, serving a search warrant at the brothel and her own toxicology report, the results of which may take a couple of weeks. Guys, back to you.
Jacob Rascone in Nevada this morning. Jacob, thanks very much.
So what's your news?
All right, so they found
a job.
In
all
the
programming
system.
At GE.
I got a job too. Every drug.
Every drug known to man. I love that.
And,
guys, all the writing code that helps machines communicate.
I don't know if he had overdosed on cocaine. They said that he had liquid in his lungs from smoking crack cocaine, and that he had, when he was in the hospital, one of the reports said that he'd had a number of strokes, so not just one. And he had a bottle of cognac with him. He was staying as a VIP guest. But, you know, all these poor houses in Nevada are built out of trailers, which is kind of ironic. And none of them have a mansion. So he was, who knows what drugs that he's taken, but they also found track marks on his arms. And they said that he had brain damage, although they didn't know how much brain damage because of the fact that he had multiple organ failure, which is liver, kidney, you know, all these things failing at the same time. So they can't really get a read on his brain. But I mean, I'm sure that if he lives, and they had said last night that he had about a 50-50 percent chance of making it. But they said that he was a lovable guy and had a heart of gold and everything. So, ironically, if he dies, all of his stuff is going to his wife, Khloe Kardashian. I guess that's her name anyway. I've never seen that show, but. But all of his stuff is going to his wife, because although they've been divorcing for 2 years, they're still in the midst of it. So anyway, 618, 619, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450. Still trying to get the mayor to come on the show. He and I have been texting back and forth. We'll get him on here. And, we'll be right back.
Strawberry. And an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Another
I got another story for you here, a sports story, which I found to be kind of amusing and completely understandable. Matt Barnes is a forward, and I think he's playing for the Grizzlies now, and he got in a fight with someone dating his ex, and we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Deborah.
Deborah, what's going on? Don't talk over me to start off the conversation. That's a bad omen. What's going on?
I'm just trying to ask your opinion on the judge, Joel Cano. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Joel Cano. To ask my opinion, is he good looking?
Is he pretty fair guy?
Of course. I mean, look, Deborah, I got to explain one thing to you. There is a relationship between attorneys and judges in which part of the canon of ethics is you don't publicly criticize judges. I mean, I can give you my opinion on his style and stuff, but like every other judge in town, I've had mixed experiences in front of Judge Cano, because sometimes my client wins and sometimes they lose. So,
right.
You know, but I mean, but you're free to give your opinion on the show.
Well, no, I don't really know him. That's why I was asking, you know, what type of track record did he have? Does he have any negative?
I No, I think he did the high jump. He did the high jump. He did the high jump and track, and I think a little he, you know, threw the javelin. But Judge Cano, I can say this, has always treated me with exquisite respect and kindness when I've been in his court. Now,
and hopefully he doesn't put up with any nonsense from people.
No, I mean, I think he was a former police officer, so, you know, he's got the law and order stuff down. But do you mind me asking why you're bringing this up?
Yeah, because I have a appointment with him today.
An appointment? That's interesting. Is he cleaning teeth on the side or what?
Pardon that. No, I have a case before him because my other judge had to recuse herself. So.
Those are called hearings, not, you know, FYI.
Right.
Not really appointments. Okay, so, well, no, he's a good guy. You know, I mean, he's a smart, you know, that's, anyway, that's just kind of sums up that one. Anyway, I don't have a beef with any judge in town. If I did, I'm not going to bring it on the show. Let me put it to you that way. All right, so anyway, Matt Barnes is this, I mean, he's a big guy, right? He's like 6'7" or whatever. He married a lady. They had some kids, and then they broke up. And his wife is like a lot of these professional athletes, just cream of the crop, beautiful. And they broke up. And then New York Knicks coach Derek Fisher, who was a former teammate of this guy for a couple of years, ends up dating this lady. And so what does Matt Barnes do? He basically does, well, the name of that song with the lady from Canada, I Drove All Night to Get to You, which I can't even find right now because my computer's not even typing. Celine Dion. Celine Dion's a weird person, isn't she? I mean, she's a great voice and everything, but she, like, married her grandfather. Anyway, let me just play this clip of the story about Matt Barnes. I mean, this is like any guy could understand this. You have a friend, you have a girlfriend or wife, whatever, long-term relationship, you break up, and then you find out your friend, without calling you first, is dating this person and maybe even have kids with this. I mean, I'd want to do just what Matt Barnes did, which was to drive an hour, jump out of my car, race out and, you know, and pound this guy like a rented mule. Anyway, here, check this out. Well, we got to, of course, we have an advertisement first, but I thought it was totally appropriate. It's a strange story, but I don't think Derek Fisher's a point guard. Matt Barnes is a forward. And the upshot is that believe it or not, the forward had a decisive advantage on the point guard. But here's the story.
Todd Grisham here with your latest SportsCenter headline and another bizarre NBA story coming our way during the preseason. It involves Matt Barnes of the Grizzlies and the current head coach of the New York Knicks, Derek Fisher. Apparently, Matt Barnes was very angry that Fisher was dating Barnes' ex-wife and showed up at his ex-wife's house to confront Derek Fisher. And that's where we'll bring in Brian Windhorst to fill in the blanks. Brian, what are you hearing happened between these two former teammates?
Well, this is certainly a bizarre story. From what I have been told, Matt Barnes came to the home of his ex-wife where Derek Fisher was attending a party on Saturday night, and Matt Barnes physically confronted Derek Fisher, and there was an altercation. And Matt Barnes, I am told, was the aggressor in the situation. Now, I've talked to people who have been with Derek Fisher the last couple of days. He described his trip to California to see his kids. He is recently divorced, and he told people he had a great time visiting his kids. He did not necessarily immediately offer the details of this event, but that he didn't show any signs of outwardly being injured. He didn't have a black eye or a swollen cheek or anything like that. So whatever physical confrontation that did take place, it was not outwardly apparent. The NBA is gathering information on this. the Knicks and Grizzlies are gathering information. There may not be anything that the NBA or the teams do to take part. These players were on off time when this happened. It is bizarre, Todd, that a coach of the New York team and a player from the Memphis team would end up in the same place in a heated confrontation in Los Angeles in the midst of the season. But Derek Fisher did have permission to leave the Knicks. He flew out there on a private jet after the Knicks practice at West Point on Saturday. The Grizzlies had just concluded their training camp at UC Santa Barbara and ended up in the same place at the same time in what appears to be very unfriendly circumstances. The strange thing about this is that I was told that Fisher and Barnes actually had a really good relationship from their time with the Los Angeles Lakers for two seasons. So I guess you never know what you're going to come to see in the NBA.
Well, what's interesting, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like Barnes was seeking out Derek Fisher to confront him. So this may have been premeditated. What impact will that play as far as the NBA trying to decide if they want to suspend him or fine him? It's not as if they just crossed paths and got into a scuffle.
Right. Well, this wasn't on an NBA court. It wasn't an NBA locker room. The NBA may not have anything to do with it. The question is whether there's any law enforcement involved and whether there's any charges filed. Certainly, there's rules in the NBA, and if you get if you end up being found guilty of certain things, you could face discipline. There is a possibility that the teams could enforce some discipline here, but I do not think this is going to be necessarily an NBA issue since it took place on off time away from an NBA facility.
Well, you can't wait for the season to start, can you?
I can't wait for the Knicks to play the Grizzlies, which is going to be January 16th.
You and me both. What a great time that should be, Matt.
Well, I think he ought to go on national TV and cold cock this guy. But no, I'm just kidding. It is totally unacceptable to date a friend's ex without getting their permission first. And to be, in my opinion, you shouldn't do it even if you have their permission. But he, according to one story, left visible injuries. Now, Derek Fisher is broke up with his wife of 10 years just out of the blue. And like I say, this guy drove 60 miles probably at high speed, fantasizing about clobbering Derek Fisher, and was, I think, able to execute his plan. So anyway, all right, we'll come back. I've got, don't you get sick of politics after a while? I mean, but anyway, we got a lot of stuff going on in the political churner. So we'll come back and talk about some things. I've got some nice science stories for you that, I'm kind of fantasizing about talking about instead of getting into the political stuff. But, here is Nancy Sinatra, 633 Kelly O'Connell. Mayor Ken, come on this show. Let's have a nice conversation between you and Miguel and Gina. 633 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450. Shame on you for hanging up on me, by the way, Deborah. We'll be right back.
In town on silver spurs, the jingle tune, a song that I had only sang to just a few.
It's Kelly.
I'm sorry, Kelly. This is Deborah.
Deborah, what's going on?
I'm sorry if you thought I hung up on you. I'm sorry.
Deborah, you did hang up on me.
Well, I didn't mean to. And I think the day before, my chin does it.
Your chin?
My chin hits the exit button.
Oh, okay.
I think I did it the day before. I think I've done it another time.
I'm
not
sure.
Not intentionally.
I'm sure you have. Anyway, thanks for the apology. Talk to you later. All right, in some military news, Obama's going to keep troops in Afghanistan beyond 2017. Which is the only sane decision to make, in my opinion, because we don't want more collapse over there. if he had only done that with Iraq, I'm sure he would have been relentlessly criticized, but at the same time, we wouldn't be having ISIS taking over large swaths of these areas, and who knows what would have happened had he simply stayed over there and then and taken on these people. I mean, we wouldn't be having a lot of these problems over there. And a friend of mine said he likes what's going on in the Middle East. That's Pete. I'm going to have Pete back on the show, but I was disturbed by that. I think, you know, the Middle East, according to a lot of the analysts, is on the verge of blowing up into a regional war. And this would be a regional war with incredible levels of religious fanaticism, violent fundamentalism. And you've got nuclear weapons over there. There's no way that turns out to a good scenario for us. All right, I am going to dig into politics here because I want to investigate the debate a little bit more. Here's Anderson Cooper asking Hillary Clinton if she will do anything and say anything to get elected.
Evolve on issues, but even some Democrats believe you change your positions based on political expediency. You are against same-sex marriage. Now you're for it. You defended President Obama's immigration policies. Now you say they're too harsh. You supported his trade deal dozens of times. You even called it the gold standard. Now, suddenly, last week, you're against it. Will you say anything to get elected?
Well, actually, I have been very consistent over the course of my entire life. I have always fought for the same values and principles, but like most human beings, including those of us who run for office, I do absorb new information. I do look at what's happening in the world. Take the trade deal. I did say when I was Secretary of State 3 years ago that I hoped it would be the gold standard. It was just finally negotiated last week. And in looking at it, it didn't meet my standards for more new good jobs for Americans, for raising wages for Americans. And I want to make sure that I can look into the eyes of any middle-class American and say, this will help raise your wages. And I concluded I could not.
Secretary Clinton, though, with all due respect, the question is really about political expediency. Just in July, New Hampshire, you told the crowd you, quote, take a backseat to no one when it comes to progressive values. Last month in Ohio, you said you plead guilty to, quote, being kind of moderate and center. Do you change your political identity based on who you're talking to?
No. I think that, like most people that I know, I have a range of views, but they are rooted in my values and my experience. And I don't take a backseat to anyone when it comes to progressive experience and progressive commitment. You know, when I left law school, my first job was with the Children's Defense Fund. And for all the years since, I have been focused on how we're going to unstack the deck and how we're going to make it possible for more people to have the experience I had, you know, to be able to come from a grandfather who was a factory worker, a father who was a small business person, and now asking the people of America to elect me president.
Just for the record, are you a progressive or are you a moderate?
I'm a progressive, but I'm a progressive who likes to get things done. And I know how to find common ground. And I know how to stand my ground, and I have proved that in every position that I've had, even dealing with Republicans who never had a good word to say about me, honestly. But we found ways to work together on everything from reforming foster care and adoption to the Children's Health Insurance Program, which insures 8 million kids. So I have a long history of getting things done, rooted in the same values I've always had.
You got to admit, she is very, very good. Very, very good at articulating, of being up in front of people. And, you know, you cannot take that away from her. She looked good. She did. You know, you see some of these pictures of Hillary where she looks like she's totally washed out and wrinkled and haggard and everything. She looked good when she was standing up there. And she gave, in my opinion, the best performance in terms of presentation. Now, you might disagree with her content. Sanders sounded good too. Now, I'm just saying this along the lines of how people sounded as opposed to what they really stood for. I thought it was, I mean, honestly, ridiculous for Sanders to pass up the chance to go after the emails, but they probably did a lot of polling and found out that Democrats in general, a large percentage of them don't want the email, are sick of it. and don't want to talk about it anymore. So he turns into a hero by kind of defending her, saying, let's get rid of the email crisis. So anyway, you hear Hillary talk at all whenever she raises her voice. I kind of think of these type of clips here.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
She's got a terrible voice, in my opinion. When she gets loud, it just puts the hair up on the back of your neck. So, and there's been a couple of stops this year where she started yelling, and it was just awful. I think if you're running a campaign for one of her opponents, what you want to do is get clips like that and then, you know, intersperse them with the email thing. We've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Mike, is that you?
Hey, Kelly.
Dude, did you just wake up and accidentally roll onto the phone? Hello?
I'm trying to keep these dogs quiet.
Did you ever consider moving into a house with more than one room?
I think I'm going to move to Perump.
All right, so Mike, I assume you called for a reason. What's going on?
Do you think that debate, Kelly, was, when Clinton and Sanders, they were like two mud wrestling stars going through a prearranged routine?
Who?
Clinton and Sanders.
Yeah, that may have been that may have been negotiated ahead of time. I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibilities. But they've obviously got to at some point address the issue.
Well, nobody challenged her on anything, and if they did, it was like dropped right away.
I think that might have been Debbie Wasserman Schultz did not really want to have any debates at all. And it could have been that they all agreed ahead of time that they would take it easy. I mean, there's got to be a reason. These politicians know that this may be their only close-up during the election for a vast percentage of the country.
Well, if she tries really hard, this thing's not going to go away. The emails and the Benghazi.
Uh-huh.
I think Trump's right. She should be in prison. I say Hillary for prison, 2016. What do you think?
Sounds good, man. All right, Mike, anything else?
No, have a good one.
You too. All right, another strange phone call. All right, so I mean, I think a lot of people, I don't know. I mean, why do so many people watch the Republican debate? The answer, of course, is that they love the back and forth. They love the idea that the candidates might say anything to any other person, and especially Donald Trump. So they say he's coming down in the polls. Every single day there's a story by a pundit explaining how and why Trump is going to lose the lead, and I just don't see it happening. And like Giuliani said, he's been underrated consistently. I played for you the clip on the thing, but here's Trump.
Just like Barack Obama was trying to make a joke at American University, saying that Republicans were like basically as bad as Iranians. Hey, Donald, how was the debate last night?
I think she did what she had to do, frankly, and I was surprised that the other potential candidates, or you know, how a couple of them shouldn't have been up there, frankly, and it would have been maybe better. And I would have liked to have seen Biden up, but she did what she had to do. I think Bernie, actually, for the sake of a good soundbite, let her off the hook. You have an FBI investigation on the emails, and he just let her off. And I think when you're losing, because he is losing badly, if you look nationally, when you're losing that badly, you have to go a lot stronger. So I think she did what she had to do, and I thought it was a very, very calm, very nice, very easy debate.
You were bored, weren't you?
It wasn't a very exciting debate. I wanted to turn, but I promised people I was going to tweet. I wanted to go off so badly, but I thought it wouldn't sound nice if I refused to watch a potential opponent's debate. Doesn't sound right.
No. So we want to ask about your campaign.
All right. So, Trump has a genius for kind of summing up the obvious, and obviously they didn't make the most of that debate in terms of interacting and back and forth. And All right, so 6:47, come back and talk about that a little bit more. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. I don't have the texter with me.
She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time. And I will give to you summer wine. Summer wine.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning. This is Sergio. I wanted to ask you real quick. It's just off the air. Who's singing that with Nancy Sinatra?
Oh, that's...
It sounds a lot like Chris Christopherson, but it's not.
Lee. Hold on a second. Lee Hazelwood.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to know. I wasn't sure.
I think he wrote the song. I mean, he was a songwriter and a singer, and I mean, he's a talented guy, you know?
Yeah, it sounds good, that duet with, and I remember that song because I'm 61.
Yeah.
I remember that song. I liked it way back then.
Classic stuff, man.
Classic stuff, yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, I'll talk to you later.
All right, you bet. Take care.
You too, Sergio. I've always wondered what it was about the Clintons especially Hillary Clinton, that really has enchanted the left. I just think she's been around a long time. It's like seeing your aunt or your grandma hanging around. And of course, you're going to give her some love. All right, here's Hillary Clinton saying, current ungoverned Libya is an example of U.S. smart power at its best. I cannot believe this claim. Libya is a rogue state run by rebels, and they're funding ISIS and other activities with oil money, and she's directly responsible for that. So I understand she's got to try to make Libya something positive as opposed to something negative, but it's just surreal to hear this kind of thing. Anyway, here's a clip.
Which I think was smart power at its best, is that the United States will not lead this. We will provide essential, unique capabilities that we have, but the Europeans and the Arabs had to be first over the line. We did not put one single American soldier on the ground in Libya. And I'll say this to the Libyan
American
people.
Citizens did lose their lives in Benghazi.
I'll get to that. But I think it's important, since I understand Senator Webb's very strong feelings about this, to explain where we were then and to point out that I think President Obama made the right decision at the time. And the Libyan people had a free election, the first time since 1951. And you know what? They voted for moderates. They voted with the hope of democracy. Because of the Arab Spring, because of a lot of other things, there was turmoil to be followed. But unless you believe the United States should not send diplomats to any place that is dangerous, which I do not, then when we send them forth, there is always the potential for danger and risk.
Governor Mellon?
Anderson, I think we are learning. Anderson, I think there's lessons to be learned from Benghazi. And those lessons are that we need to do a much better job as a nation of having human intelligence on the ground so that we know who the emerging next generation leaders are that are coming up to replace a dictator when his time on this planet ends. And I believe that's what Chris Stevens was trying to do, but he did not have the tools. We have failed as a country to invest in the human intelligence that would allow us to make not only better decisions in Libya, but better decisions in Syria today. And it's a huge national security failing.
Senator Webb, I want you to be able to respond.
Thank you.
Anderson, I'd like to go to you, please.
Senator Webb, this was not about Benghazi per se. To me, it is the inevitability of something like Benghazi occurring in the way that we intervened in Libya. We had no treaties at risk. We had no Americans at risk. There was no threat of attack or imminent attack. There is plenty of time for a president to come to the Congress and request authority to use military force in that situation. I called for it on the Senate floor again and again. I called on it for it in Senate hearings. It is not a wise thing to do. And if people think it was a wise thing to do, try to get to the Tripoli airport today. You can't do it.
All right. So it is surreal to me that Hillary stands up and says that Libya is an example of American smart power at its best. It was an absolute insane decision to back these people who took the country over. And now the country is, as they say, ungoverned. How could that what if we did that to every country? What if we say, you know, because Americans are not at risk, we're going to, support an insurgency and then the country will be ungoverned. The planet would just very quickly lapse into chaos. I've got a call here. I don't have much time, but who's this?
Yeah, this is Tom.
Yeah, briefly, Tom.
Yeah, she studied under Alinsky and all that when she was young. They were told to stand down when they could have helped the ambassador over there. She's a evil witch.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Right. Thank you. Is she evil? Maybe she is. But anyway, what she was saying was just absurd. And if that was our public our foreign policy, the entire earth would be engulfed in war and we'd go back to the Stone Age. In my opinion, you can't just support any rebels and then bomb or give them weapons and then just stand up clapping when that's absurd. Anyway, we'll come back in just a second. Okay, so just briefly, I mean, I understand that Hillary has to make the best of the situation with Libya, Benghazi, and everything. She takes lemons and tries to make lemonade, but I believe that this idea, I just think it's such a disaster. Smart power. That's the stupidest power I've ever seen. 6:58, we got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show.
Yeah, one last thing. Why don't you play some clips of everybody saying it was the movie that caused all that disruption over there?
Yeah, thanks, Tom. All right. Well, they say that Bernie Sanders won the debate. So what I want to come back and do after the break on the hour is play some of the clips and you can decide how he did. He's an avowed socialist, so you can take him or leave him based on that. But they said he had a real good debate, and I thought Jim Webb sounded pretty good. He sounded like the adult in the room. But we're going to support other countries' rebellions, not putting Americans on the ground. That in and of itself makes it a smart power? I don't think so. Kelly O'Connell, we'll be back. 523-1450, 1450 KOBE.
My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs and help me pass the time. And I will give you summer wine. Oh, summer wine.
All right, so the winner by consensus of this debate, this first Democratic debate by broad reaction was Bernie Sanders. Now, I think the big winner was Hillary Clinton because she sounded credible. She sounded confident. She didn't muff anything. You know, she may not have given the answers that you wanted, but then again, maybe she wasn't asked the questions you wanted her to be asked. But we've got another call. Thanks for the call. It's 706 Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Bill Clinton, and my wife's a lesbian.
Thank you, Bill. Well, that's another thing that didn't come out, which side of the plate she's swinging from. But could you blame the wife of a serial philanderer for, you know, wanting to graze in another field, so to speak, to put it into bovine terms. So anyway, that wasn't a bad Clinton impersonation. Ken Miyagashima, come on this show. By the way, Ken, get on here. I know you love this show. You listen to it every morning. All right, so I'm looking for clips here from Bernie Sanders, who may be from, where is he from? Vermont, but he sounds like New York City to me. And another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil. How you doing?
Neil, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you know, what I saw from the debate was two things. I do agree that Hillary did a great job. She did what she needed to do. Although I didn't agree with any of her answers for the most part, she was confident, presidential. She looked good. Another thing, though, is that Bernie Sanders, along with Kevin McCarthy's gaffe, has given her the presidency. I think she's a shoo-in now because there's no one that will unseat her in the primary. So she's a shoo-in now for the primary. And, you know, because of all the other issues and a lot of Tea Party folks who probably won't vote because we won't nominate a conservative, supposedly, I think she's a shoo-in.
For the presidency?
Yeah, for the presidency.
I think that you're wildly overreacting to one debate, and we haven't gotten into the general election. And just because she was let off at this point in time doesn't mean there's not going to be a reckoning. Neil told you that 60% of Americans think that Hillary Clinton has lied about Benghazi. Do you really think she's been let off?
Well, there's a lesser of two evils here, though. I think people, the independents, moderates, whatever you want to call them, I think for the most part they'll go for Hillary because a scandalous person, someone they can't trust, is worse than a hater slash bigot, of course, what all the names that Republicans are these days.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got another call, but thanks for the call. Good points, Neil, as always. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Okay, Jim again. How are you?
Jim, turn down your radio. I'm fine. How you doing?
It's down. I don't have it.
We got some satellite feedback. Can you call back?
Yeah, I can call back. There's no radio on.
Well, there's an echo. Call right back. All right, folks. So Neil makes some good points. I understand that level of skepticism because the people on the right think that they've been burned so many times by the Clintons and there have been so many scandals, and the scandals they always thought would lead to the downfall of the Clintons, and they're like survivors of some dread plague. They only get stronger after each exposure. Jim, what's going on?
Hi, Kelly. Hey, you've been having the various candidates on the morning show, which is great. Unless I missed it, I have not heard whether anybody's mentioned Cassandra Gandara.
I got to get Gandara on here. I asked somebody asked me to come on the show, and I said, you can come on my show if you send me the phone numbers of all the candidates. So we made a little agreement there. But I want to get every single person on so that they can give their basic, campaign speech. And so also that people can call in and grill them a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think she's running for, I know she's running in our area, Council District 1.
Yeah,
I think she's a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't let me interrupt you. Go ahead.
I think she's a progressive.
There, from what I understand, she's very progressive. Eli Guzman or Ellie Guzman, I don't know. Somebody said you pronounce it Ellie, was invited on the show last Friday, did a no-call, no-show, which to me is always a bad sign if somebody doesn't even bother to explain why they didn't show up, doesn't give you a heads up. And maybe somebody, maybe one of Mayor Ken's friends called up and said, this is a voodoo show or something. But I got another call. Anything else?
Yeah.
Briefly.
In regard to Hillary Clinton, she's just a typical progressive traitor.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jim. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hi there. This is Betty. I was listening to your show this morning. We do have, Cassandra has agreed to be at our forum, the Tea Party Forum tonight. So if people haven't had a chance to meet her, that's a good chance to do so. And
where's that at,
like
Betty? Betty, where's that at?
It is, I'm always terrible with the addresses, at New Covenant Church.
I thought she said Newt Covenant.
No, sorry.
It's all right, Betty. We always talk over each other. It's like two deaf people trying to talk.
That could be.
As she immediately speaks over me. One more time, the address?
That's what I'm saying. I'm terrible with addresses.
I understand that you're Betty, I understand you're terrible, but could you have it written down somewhere?
Well, not that I can pull up right at the moment. I apologize for that. New Covenant Church.
Oh, my God.
South Main.
Some people, they always talk over
Holy
me.
Cross
All right,
Road.
So pull it. Do a Sarah Palin, Betty, and write it down in your hand next time. But it's New Covenant?
I believe that's the name.
Okay, and Betty, hold on.
Everybody's been
please,
talking about
it.
You
please,
might have
please,
it
if you call up, folks, don't keep talking if you hear me talking.
How about if I get the address and call you back here in a little bit? Would that work?
Yes, but please don't talk over me. I'm trying to get something out here. It's what time tonight?
It's at 6:30.
Okay, and it's at New Covenant. If you want to call back and give the address, I'd appreciate
it. Let me get the information correct.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so losing my train of thought here, probably losing my mind. If you call up, here is something that is kind of a repeated thing. Some people say they cannot hear what I say whatsoever, which I'm puzzled because other people call up and they instantly hear everything. I don't know if it's the nature of the connection. But if you call up, the way to do it is because everybody wants to hear what you're saying when you call up, make a statement and then pause. If you talk without taking a pause, it's just like turning on a TV. There's no back and forth. If you have something to say, a question to ask or whatever, something to get off your chest, call up, make your statement, and then pause. Because whether you can hear me or not, I'm going to try to interact with you to make it a little bit more interesting and maybe you know, I have things that come to mind that I think maybe people want to hear about or I'm interested in. So if you can't hear me, still just like a normal conversation, talk a little bit and pause after your point, and then you'll be able to hear me. I promise. If you just hesitate, you know, have you ever seen on TV when there's a, you know, like there's the anchor, and then they have a reporter out there, and the anchor asks a question, and then there's a pause before the reporter can hear it and answers back. That's probably what's going on here. But in any event, we'll come back and get into some more Bernie Sanders. So I think it's important that we try to figure out what he's saying. I disagree with Neil. Neil's a very smart guy, but I disagree with him. It's way early to anoint anybody, to crown anybody. 7:15 Kelly O'Connell Show. I'm going to do everything that I can to get every single person on the ballot here in the studio. So including Mayor Ken, who I did apologize to yesterday. I realized I had gone a little too far. 7:16 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. We'll be right back. I just found a headline a few minutes ago. Now I can't find it, but it was along the lines of my country, or no, a foreign country saying that the president is mentally ill. And I wanted to find out more of what they were trying to say. But some foreign country has drawn the conclusion. I'll just have to find it out. But some foreign country has drawn the conclusion that our president is mentally ill. That's interesting. I think, I don't, you know, never having spent one second around Obama from observation, and I just did a, all right, so I don't seem to find it. My impression of him is that somewhere between really not knowing what he was doing when he came in, by definition, since he didn't have the background, and having this ideology has made him seem a lot of times out of touch. He's using his ideology to make decisions. He's to a large extent, this grid that he's looking through, or these glasses, this kind of less leftism, progressivism, has really caused him he seems very hesitant. And I wonder if part of that is not influenced also by a passive aggressive. I think that if I was to, from the little bit I've seen of him on TV and interviewing and decision making, seems passive aggressive to me, like a certain number of things why people can't imagine why he doesn't do something. I almost wonder if it's almost like this kind of adolescent passive aggressive attempt to get back at people or whatever these kind of like battles he's fighting in his mind. Anyway, I'll try to find that thing on him. Here's from Bernie Sanders. And, okay, Hillary Clinton defends capitalism from Bernie Sanders is one clip here, and I've got another one. People are disgusted with the finance system. And let's see another one. Oh, and we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg, what's up?
I believe that article that you're looking for will be found on the Drudge Report about Obama. I just got a couple of observations about that debate. Number one, the word Islam, the word Muslim was never brought up. The word terrorist was finally brought up 2 hours into the debate. Number two, everything that they had offered was basically free to the illegal immigrant that will be breaking our law. Free health care and free college. And you know, Kelly, there's no such thing as free. It'll be the people, us, the citizens of the United States that will be paying for this. What do you think?
I think the Kelly O'Connell Show is free, and I think herpes is also free. But do you remember what country said that the president was mentally ill?
No, I
can't find it. I'm looking for it
last night.
I'm looking for it right now. But yeah, so they're talking about free stuff. Okay, so what Bernie Sanders his platform is to raise taxes and take a trillion.
On the rich.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry as well. On the rich, he kept on hammering
well,
that he was
I mean,
go after the rich.
That goes without saying. He's a socialist, so he wants to go after the rich. But right. He's going to raise $1 trillion and then use that to rebuild the infrastructure and offer free health care. And he's going to give free education. That's what I've gathered.
Well, it sounds sweet, but eventually, again, we're all going to end up paying for all this free stuff for all the people that continue to break our laws and come in here illegally. Have a great day, Kelly.
You too, Greg. Thanks for the call. All right. So here's a little bit of Bernie after the apparently not during the debate. He looks like he's probably after the debate. Here we go.
Backstage right before the closing statements, you seemed like you were in a quiet moment. You were getting your thoughts together. Where was your head in that moment?
Well, my head was at trying to make the case in the short period of time that we have that if the middle class of this country is going to survive, if we're going to deal with income and wealth inequality, we need some very profound changes to the way we do business in this country.
You harped on substance from the beginning about what you wanted this debate to be about. There was a lot of substance in it, I think, by all accounts. But the line of the night probably came from you and what people are calling a gift to Hillary Clinton. Enough with your damn email. What motivated that?
Well, what motivated that is that I think the American people want substantive discussions on substantive issues. Look, the middle class of this country is disappearing.
Yeah. Who's this?
We have 27 million people living in poverty. We have a campaign finance system which
Please?
Is corrupt. The rich are getting
Hello?
Richer. Everybody else is getting poorer. Those are
Sorry,
the issues that the American
the
people
radio.
Want to
I know,
discuss.
But let
there
me put you on hold, okay?
In place
yes, sir.
I'll be right
the
back.
Email situation that Hillary Clinton is dealing with. Let it play itself out. But as a nation, let us start focusing on why it is that so few have so much and so many have so little.
Others would have chosen to play to advantage. You did not because?
Yes, I think it was the right thing to do.
All right. So he is worried, as all socialists are, that some people have more money than others. Socialism, in my opinion, in a kind of ironic turn, is based on greed and covetousness or getting upset that somebody else has more than you. To me, that's even if you brought in 100% socialism, you're never going to get rid of those human emotions. So we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show.
Hi, Kelly. It's Jerry.
Jerry, thanks for calling in. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, the debate the other night, Bernie Sanders and socialism, people don't realize that Adolf Hitler was a socialist. The Nazi Party's National Socialist Party.
Yeah, so there's a difference between communism and fascism, but it's a very, very small, which I'll explain later, but it's broadly true to call the Nazism National Socialism is what it, where the acronym comes from. It's absolutely 100% accurate to call Nazism socialism.
Yes, sir. And also his distribution of wealth, that's the same thing Barack Obama said back in 2008 to Joe the Plumber. Okay, and people get confused because there is a fine line between fascism and socialism. Fascism, if I can speak, fascism, government basically owns, controls all the business. The people own it, but they are so regulated that they cannot work properly or freely.
You're saying that's fascism?
Yes, sir.
Fascist economics has at its heart corporatism, where the government comes in and chooses some businesses over others. The ones it chooses survive. The ones it doesn't choose fail because they're not given government sanction. And then the ones that are chosen are then directed on what to make, how much of it, when to produce it, and stuff like that. So it's much more efficient than communism.
Yes, but that's where we're headed to right now, if we're not already there.
Well, I think we're a little ways from that, but I mean, the point's well taken.
Well, not really. When you can go in and you can pick which bank's going to be survive and which bank is not.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's what they did during the TARP session.
Detroit, yeah, and there's never been an accounting for the billions of dollars that were given away to banks. It is almost as if the banking system has been adopted by the government.
That's exactly right. And what did they do with all the colleges and the college loans? They nationalized those.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, anything else?
Well, they're going right now. They're going for the police departments and the military. Not the military. They're making them militarized, and they're going for the police departments, and they're going to put them on underneath a UN treaty, which is called, I believe it's called Secure Cities or Safe Cities.
Wow.
And you can look that up.
Sounds like Agenda 21.
It's worse than Agenda 21. It's and
City.
Agenda 21 has been extended out. Now it's Agenda 2030. So, and that's coming down the pike.
Okay.
But this is a.
Thanks for the call. We got a few other calls. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. I got that
briefly,
country.
Briefly, I got it. Yeah, it's an EU country. Go ahead.
Which country is it? Does it say?
I'll be right back. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Betty. I do have those directions.
God bless you, Betty.
I don't know when you want to hear them.
Well, I think we should talk over each other for about 5 minutes, and then you can deliver the address. That's a joke, Betty. I'm just kidding. What's the address?
New Covenant Fellowship Church. It is 20 Holy Cross Road. You take South Main, past Messiah Park, past Carver Road, turn left onto Holy Cross, the driveway, and the church is on your right.
Okay, so who can you tell the listeners who's going to be there?
Well, we're very pleased that most of the candidates are going
to
be there.
I
heard you. I was unprepared for the address, but Cassandra also has agreed to be there.
God bless you, Betty.
People haven't heard her before.
And so. What time is it going to happen?
It's at 6:30.
And is there a phone call or a phone number for the church?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
You can call me if you like.
Well, you'd have to give us your number, of course.
I can do that.
We're waiting.
680-4904.
680-4904. Thank you, Betty. We really appreciate it. Hope you have a great day.
Just would encourage, the city, since they chose to keep us from having our forum at their facility, that we would hope they would all come. They're cordially invited. The public is cordially invited. And I think we'll have some nice questions for the candidates, and it's a chance to
to see who they are and what they think. So.
Thank you, Betty. Okay. So, folks, the city has decided just suddenly and subjectively that it's going to squeeze out one group, which is the Tea Party. Now, imagine this. The city has decided on its own that it's not going to allow one group to have a candidates forum because the group is supposedly partisan. So the only partisan group in the city that's been involved in the election process that had a candidates forum was the Tea Party. And they're getting away with it. I mean, nothing's happening. So anyway, that's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. Let's come back and talk a little bit more about Bernie Sanders. Kelly O'Connell, 732-523-1450 to call in, 1450 KOBE on AM Las Cruces. It's Kelly. Who is looking for me? For Yvette Torres? The judge already took me off the case because she didn't show up to court two times in a row. So, well, I mean, all right, so the story that I was telling you about earlier on the government thinking that our foreign government thinking that Obama was quite mentally unwell. EU diplomat, my government, quote, believes Obama is quite mentally unwell. Former NSA analyst says senior European official asked him how U.S. president could be impeached. And John Schindler, a security expert and whistleblower, who now writes for the Daily Beast, claims a senior EU official from an undisclosed country inquired about how to impeach a president. And so it says the wording of this report shows that the opinion is not that of a single person, but rather the whole government of which European country. And then it gives a list of European countries. So here, let me ask you this. Let's just say, because I think the president got an unprecedented level of support and love when he was running. As you recall, it was stated that he was so smart it didn't matter if he had any experience. There were literal articles that I saw, which I could kick myself for not keeping because now you can't find them on the web. Journalists, serious journalists writing what you might call an encomium or a paean, not a peon, a paean. A panegyric. These are all terms for poems of praise or, you know, glorious statements about somebody. They were putting these things out there. One of the greatest leaders in history. There were literally articles that I read that said literally president was doing unprecedented acts of leadership. And now looking back for 7 years, I don't hear anybody, his greatest fans even, saying that. I doubt his wife would claim that, but if you're in a foreign country and you're trying to figure out U.S. policy and what we stand for, what would you make of decision making? You know, how would you figure it out? How would you explain it? The president seems to be totally out of step with U.S. Values and past precedent and everything. So I'm only saying that I think that there's something to the idea that another person in another country or another country itself could come to the conclusion that the president was mentally ill just because his decision making is so hard to follow. All right, now speaking of crazy, I've got a clip here called from 4chan. You'd have to be able to see it, but even if you saw it, you couldn't make any sense out of it. But it's called from Real Clear Politics: Donald Trump embraces 4chan fans, retweets absurd dubstep "You Can't Stump the Trump" video. I'll just play a little of it for you, get a feel for it.
Despite its impressive length, it's a nimble navigator, and some can be highly venomous.
All I'm doing is telling the truth.
Just like the tarantula it's killing, the centipede has two curved, hollow fangs, which inject paralyzing venom. The centipede is a predator.
I think you're hurting me. You're having a hard time tonight. Go back to Eurovision. Go ahead. Only Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, I can't really subject you to more than that, but just Google "You Can't Stump the Trump" video. I'm sure it's got tens of millions of viewers on YouTube, but it's kind of entertaining. All right, we're going to come back, and I'm going to try to dig down into a little bit more Bernie. Frankly, although I understand his program, I don't find too much substance there. It's just classic socialism. Why do people follow failed ideologies? That's my question. Why do people follow and tout and claim as the most exquisite intellectual morsel ideas that in practice have proven to be the worst curse to humanity? That's what I'm asking. That's what I would ask General Sanders, as my friend Bryce calls him. 7:42, we're going to be back and try to dig into this mystery, why people followed failed things. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, KOBE, 523-1450, and we'll be right back.
I got some troubles, but they won't last. I'm gonna lay right down here in the grass. And pretty soon all my troubles will pass, 'cause I'm in sugar.
Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly, this is a local here, a citizen in Las Cruces, about Bear Acres.
Okay.
And I'm just calling in to ask about, have you heard about the nuclear fire underground in St. Louis that's near all of the plutonium storage?
Wow, no.
And have you heard of Hanford?
Yeah.
Which has been a leak for 50 years now. And have you even heard of Fukushima and what it's doing to our country? And why aren't you people talking about
any
of this?
Can I put you on hold and let you talk about it?
Yeah, I can. I know a bunch about it.
Okay. What's your first name so when I introduce you?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, thanks for the call. I'll put you on hold. It's about just like 1 or 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
He has to drive down Valley, too.
We've got Jeffrey on here, and Jeffrey wants to know why there is not more talk about the nuclear threat of pollution, not only in the United States, but in the ocean and from Fukushima. Jeffrey, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. Also, there's a huge underground fire from an old dump that they kept covering up. They dump it covered up with dirt in St. Louis. Also, right next to it is all the nuclear waste from the Manhattan Project, okay? About 6,000 tons of plutonium nuclear waste. It's 1,000 feet away. The fire is 1,000 feet away. Also in Fukushima, all of the reactors there burnt to the bottom, and all of it went into the ocean. I'm just telling you right now, the NRC, the EPA, all of them are a bunch of thieves, liars, cheats, and they're thieves, and they're killers.
Well, Jeffrey, let me ask you this, because Fukushima seems so out of control. Is there anything we can do to deal with that crisis?
Well, one thing we could do is we could get the press operating properly to where they can alert the people on the West Coast so they all don't die, which most of the babies are dying now, and the birth rate is down past less than half.
The flat St. Louis.
So I tell you the truth, the biggest scientists in the world, the most smartest guys I listen to, and I research this every day, it's completely, totally out of control, and our corrupt and evil government is backing it up for extermination of the world.
Okay, so you see maybe a little bit of a conspiracy to use nuclear waste to kill the human race?
Yes, it's been a conspiracy since they started it in the early 1900s. They've been pushing this agenda for many years. They've stolen. Now, let me tell you this. There's not one nuclear plant that produces more electricity than it costs to run it. It costs more to run it than what it produces.
All right.
Every one of them. Every one of them in the United States is leaking. They have no clue, never have had a clue, where to put the waste from it. They never did it. Never. It's out of control. The whole government is. We've got a cycle for a president.
Wow. All right, Jeffrey.
What do you think? You think that the radiation dilutes it? No, it dilutes. It keeps building up. It never goes away, ever. I mean, we're talking 1.5 million years of half-life, and then it's only half as poisonous.
Yeah.
And 1 pound of plutonium, you got 6,000 tons of it over there. 1 pound will kill the whole Earth, okay? And this is aerosolized, okay? Mm-hmm. This is everywhere. We're all dead. They can't stop it.
Well, if we can't stop it, there's no reason to worry about it.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess we can just let all the rats keep stealing from us and torture us until it's all over.
All right. All right, Jeffrey. Thanks for the warning. Thanks. Good call. I'll talk to you later. All right, folks. Here's a little clip I was just kind of curious about. He's saying that there's a fire. Jeffrey said there's a fire, nuclear fire in St. Louis. Here's a little clip.
Slap St. Louis for a potential environmental disaster.
Yeah, an underground fire smoldering toward radioactive waste in Bridgeton. New at 6, Fox 2's Andy Banker with the Missouri Attorney General calling on the EPA to step up to the plate.
Now, whether this is a true looming environmental disaster or it's just a matter of scare tactics, this is something St. Louis is becoming known for. In all of the back and forth recently about playoff baseball, Cardinals versus Cubs, St. Louis versus Chicago, this came up.
Welcome, Cardinals, to Wrigley Field by smelling nice. St. Louis has a garbage fire problem. So reads the headline from a Chicago Tribune column by Rex Hupke. An underground fire at Bridgeton Landfill has been smoldering for years, with radioactive waste buried at the West Lake Landfill next door.
There are aspects of this situation that are beyond human ability to solve them. No one that I am aware of knows how to put out the fire. That is the single biggest challenge we face right now.
A recently revealed St. Louis County emergency plan noted the potential for radioactive fallout coming with no warning. At least 4 area school districts have followed up with letters home to parents, noting plans to either evacuate students or shelter them in the schools while closing off air intakes to limit exposure. The Missouri Attorney General is suing the landfill's owner, Republic Services, to force a cleanup. He says radioactive waste has contaminated trees and water beyond the landfill's perimeters. But a statement from Republic calls radioactive fallout a remote scenario and says the landfills are safe and intensely monitored. An update from the EPA says there will be drilling for soil samples in December in the hope of figuring out a way to best clean up the World War II era uranium leftovers that were illegally dumped here in the 1970s, including digging up some or all of it. Still, Koster is pressing the EPA for more.
And give St. Louis some type of an answer regarding what happens when the smoldering event, the fire, meets the radiological material. whether if we have this thing, this landfill covered with a thick plastic tarp, we can capture all the radon gas, or whether there is danger beyond that.
EPA testing has shown no current health threats from the landfills. The EPA will update the public at an October 26th meeting in Bridgeton. Andy Banker, Fox 2 News.
Wow. There is an answer, though. Just dig the dang thing up and pour water on the fire. That's my my answer, but thank God I don't live next to St. Louis or in St. Louis. They can't get enough cops in St. Louis because there's not enough quality applicants. So this area. Kelly O'Connell, 750. And we do have another call. Could be Jeffrey Round. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show is this.
Hey, Kelly, this is David. I was a dowser in California when Enoch, Russia exploded.
Folks,
and
David,
some of the scientists for
all right, so pulling the
reactor.
Mic down here. A dowser is someone who takes sticks and finds water. David, you use sticks.
Yes. Okay.
You use sticks that look like what are those things that come out of the bird's chest? They look like wishbones, and then you walk along and find water, right?
True. Okay, the Russian scientists came over to our lecture, and they would not go public when they were talking about the only thing that was working against radiation. And yes, I am a dowser, so you can take it for what it's worth.
I'm just trying
they
to tell
say,
people, David, folks, don't call up, and if you hear me talking, talk
men,
over me. Let's have a conversation. David,
yes.
I just was trying to explain. You're the one who called yourself a dowser. I just think most people don't know
understand.
What that is.
Understand.
Go ahead.
These scientists were talking about that, they were saying, but they were saying cow dung. Pouring cow dung on top of the radiation stopped the radiation completely.
Wow.
This is really off the wall, but we need something or anything else because what we've got is not working.
And David, let me know if I'm interrupting because I am interrupting, but this is not BS. This is a real answer.
Okay. We could test it out in Carlsbad, pouring cow dung on it. Right now they're using cat fertilizer.
Yeah.
All right. It's not going to work.
Not cat fertilizer. It is organic cat box pellets.
Litter.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yes, you're incorrect. They use cow dung. Put cow dung on the
Let's
radiation.
Let's do it, folks. Let's
and
do
it.
It
will stop it.
Let's do it. Not only that, we can use it later to fertilize. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, work with me when you call in here. I think I've been like an overindulgent parent. I let anybody do anything they want. And now when I'm trying to impose a little order, the people are lashing out or ignoring me like a bad classroom, like a bad teacher in an out of control classroom. All right. 753 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. AM Las Cruces, of course, and going to come back and close up with some of these tasty tidbits.
I never had a dog that liked me some. Never had a friend or wanted one. So I just leave.
All right, so how about some concluding with some debate highlights or lowlights? Check it out here.
I'm a progressive who likes to get things done.
I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
Look how glad we are actually to be talking about the issues that matter most to people around their kitchen table.
You have not been in the United States Congress.
Well, maybe
and when you
want
to check it out.
Let me say, because there's a lot of loose talk going on here.
You do not have the right to conduct cyber warfare against tens of millions of American citizens. And in a Webb administration, we will do something about that.
We should not be paralyzed by the Republicans and their constant refrain, big government this, big government that.
With my brother a Marine, my son was a Marine in Iraq, I served as a Marine, spending 5 years in the Pentagon. I am very comfortable that I am the most qualified person standing up here today to be your commander-in-chief.
I'm very proud that over my almost 30 years of public service, I have had no scandals.
But tonight, I want to talk not about my emails, but about what the American people want from the next president of the United States.
Let me say this. Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America.
I think we need someone that has the best in ethical standards as our next president. That's how I feel.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
No.
Governor.
All right, so those are some of your highlights. I think it was pointed out that it was pointed out that the debate didn't really deal with a lot of stuff that people wanted to hear about. Here's a little bit from Hugh Hewitt on that. Well, let's we're almost out of time. Let's take that up tomorrow. I think it's only right that we would spend some time trying to dig down into the what's going on in the Democrat side. We've only heard about Hillary's problems with emails and Donald Trump. And so there's obviously a lot more going on there. Anyway, thanks for tuning in today. And I didn't even know about this nuclear fire. And we do have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Isn't it time for a woman president?
Frankie. Fake Frankie just called. Wonder who that was. What a great friend. Somebody's doing some great impersonations today. You can go and listen to the show again if you want to be tortured on Blog Talk Radio, Kelly O'Connell. But those are top-notch impersonations for free. Kelly O'Connell's show, free as a weed. Thanks for tuning in. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao, and please listen to Glenn Beck.
Because I'm in Sugar Town.